I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. As I stated quite some time ago, back last year, we had a number of studies in the book of Proverbs, and then we had all of the shutdowns and so forth, and now we're picking up in a study going forward again here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would. We'll read verses 1 through 4, and the title of the message, though not a direct quote out of the passage, does take up one of the words that we'll encounter here. The title is simply this, spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, which then is defined as justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Knowledge and discretion. Now jump down to verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I know many of us think of that phrase, the fear of the Lord. If I said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, most of the time you would say wisdom. Because in fact, there is a couple of verses in Scripture that say that. All right, there is one in the book of Proverbs, and there is one, I believe, in the book of the Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But actually, the very first time that phrase is used in the book of Proverbs, it doesn't say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge actually comes before wisdom. Knowledge leads to wisdom. Knowledge is knowing what's right, and wisdom is then being able to apply what's right in your daily living. Well, you can't apply what's right if you don't even know what it is. So the fear of the Lord is actually, even before you start learning wisdom, you have to learn the knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that as well. We'll talk more about that as we go forward. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll proceed with the message here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us now as we enter into the Word of God, and as we consider these truths and this study throughout the book of Proverbs over the next coming weeks to understand this truth of spiritual wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As we take up this truth of spiritual wisdom, and we find it scattered throughout the book of Proverbs. In fact, there's various words that are given to us in the book of Proverbs concerning this idea of spiritual truth and its place in our lives. In the very passage that we read at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, we're introduced to a number of these words. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. Wisdom is the application of righteousness, the ability to apply what is right. And understanding. Understanding is the ability to understand or discern what is right in any given situation. So, wisdom and understanding certainly would apply to each other or are connected to each other. I understand if I'm in a circumstance and I have to make a decision, before I can make the right decision, I need to understand what the right decision is. Right? Now, after I understand what it is, I might still choose to decide otherwise. You know, do you think that there are some people, or even in your own life, are there times when you know, you understand what the right thing is to do, but you choose to do the wrong thing anyway? Just because we're fleshly and carnal, and that's what sometimes we choose to do. But you certainly won't choose the right thing if you don't even understand what it is. All right, so wisdom is doing what's right, applying righteousness, the truth and principles of righteousness, the precepts and principles of righteousness, applying them in what you do. Doing what's right. Application of what's right. Understanding is the ability to look at a circumstance and look at the decisions that need to be made and understand what is the right path through this decision-making process. That's what understanding is. Another word for it is discretion, although that applies in a slightly different way as well. We'll note that in a moment. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. All right, so instruction is how I get this into me. Some other source bringing it into me. God's Word instructing, God's Spirit instructing, other counselors instructing, bringing structure into the structure of righteousness, its knowledge, its understanding, putting that into me. Notice, in fact, the word struct has to do with structure. The Ricks right now are trying to build a structure. It's a slow process because before they could build the structure, they had to dig a hole. And it's all clay around here, so it's not easy to do. So first, before you can put the structure up, you have to produce. But the other day we were over there and they were talking, Miss Angela was talking about foundation and that they needed to get things leveled right and so forth, because if you don't get the right foundation, what happens? The structure will not last nearly as long as it should or could, because the foundation will ruin things from underneath. All right, so struct, that part of instruction, that word struct part, that has to do with structure. But here it's in structure, getting the structure inside, into us. And we need God through the source of His Word and His Spirit and godly counselors to instruct, to put the structure of righteousness, its knowledge, its understanding into us. You following these different words and how they connect? So actually, which would come first to the words we've looked at? Understanding, wisdom, instruction, which would come first? Instruction, it's the instruction of wisdom, all right? So instruction of wisdom shows me what's right and shows me how to apply it. Doesn't mean I'm doing it, just shows me how, what it is and how to do it. Then I get in a circumstance and I'm looking at it and I need to understand from what I've been instructed, understand what is right in the decision-making process. Then, if I walk in wisdom, actually walk in wisdom, that means I start making the right decisions and doing the right thing. All right, so here is what we have. All right, so going to then verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, and those things actually are can be subdivided into three areas: justice, what is right; judgment, how to perceive what is right; and equity, having a character that is right. All right. Then you come to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, knowledge is simply knowing what is right. So if we were to plug that in our order here, what comes first? Instruction. Through instruction, I come to know what is right. Then I come knowing it. So like I could, you know, like in school time, I can fill it out on a piece of paper. But there's a difference in chemistry class. I don't know, some of the students may not have chemistry class like we did, and depends on the size of the school, what equipment they have and so forth. In the chemistry class I had in school, we actually had to do mixing of chemicals. We actually had to take chemicals that were already mixed and add certain things in order to discern what was in it. We were given some kind of liquid, certain color, but we weren't told what it was. And we had to test it by put this in it. And we know that if this reacts to this way, then it has this in it and so forth. And we had to determine that. And that was one of our tests. So there's a difference between having the knowledge that I can fill it out on a piece of paper and get 100% on my written exam, and then go to understanding, meaning that I can look at the actual liquid in that beaker and work my way through what's actually in it or not. To understand means I can take that and go, okay, this is the process I need to follow in order to figure it out. Then wisdom is me taking the process and actually following it, meaning I actually do drop the right dropper, the right amount, the right measurements. I'm actually not just knowledgeable about it and understanding about it, but I'm actually able to practice it. There are some individuals, we could talk about sports, there are some individuals that know a lot about a sport, And they understand a lot about the rules, but it doesn't mean they can play it very well. They usually become coaches. Coaches. Because playing it requires, well, your body not to be quite as old and your body to be in this shape or that shape, not so small, whatever it is, you know. So there's a difference between knowledge and understanding and then the ability to actually do it. And then there's some that were able to do it when they were younger, but not able to do it anymore. Right, Dad? Yeah, there was a time. But that time is a little bit in the past. Just a little bit in the past. Not too far, just a little bit. All right, so we have that. But when we're talking about living for God, which is really what the book of Proverbs is, these things are illustrations or examples. When we're talking about living for God, if you're a believer and God's given all you need to be able to do these things, He has given you what is necessary to instruct you. Amen? He's given you His Word, He's given you His Spirit, and He's even given into your life Spirit-filled counselors, biblically faithful counselors. I'm not saying every counselor is biblically faithful or Spirit-filled, but He's given you biblically faithful and Spirit-filled counselors into your life at different times to help guide you and instruct you in the right way. If you'll take that instruction, you'll develop the knowledge of what's right, the knowledge of righteousness, spiritual knowledge. But we're going to find as we go forward in this study in the book of Proverbs, spiritual knowledge is more than just knowing information that's right. It's actually, and we'll get there either this message or the next, it is actually knowing the person that is right. Spiritual knowledge is not just knowing what the Bible says. It's knowing the God who said it. Amen? But instruction leads to that. To actually not just knowing the truth, but having a relationship with the God of truth. And that leads to understanding in given circumstances of given days, understanding how to navigate the decisions. And then the wisdom to actually put into practice what you understand and what you know and that walk with God. But notice also there was one other word there we encountered. That's the word discretion. Discretion. What is that? Well, discretion is like understanding. It's similar to understanding, but it has a slightly different focus. All right? Understanding's focus is the ability to discern what is right in a given circumstance of decision. Discretion is the ability to understand or the ability to recognize what is right in controlling myself. Someone who has discretion or someone who is discreet, when we use that word, we always mean that they know when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, when to step forward into the group to communicate an opinion and when to just stand in the background and not push themselves forward at all, not even be noticed necessarily. A discreet individual is wise in their own behavior. You understand what I'm saying here? In the controls of their own mouth, in the controls of their own choices of stepping forward and leading or stepping back and letting others lead or stepping forward to give others praise or stepping back when the praise is given. All the different things. It has to do with discipline of self. Now, it's similar because it's understanding. But in this case, it's understanding the circumstance, not so much to make the decision about the circumstance, but it's understanding the circumstance in order to make the decision about my own personal discipline. How to behave in a certain circumstance, personally behave. Not just what to decide, but how to behave in my personal behavior in that circumstance. That's discretion. So now let's plug that in. What we have is instruction leads to knowledge. Knowledge leads to kind of a fork here, leads to understanding of circumstantial decision and leads to discretion about personal behavior. And those two then come back together in my actual behavior of wisdom. That then is the process that we engage in and what the whole book of Proverbs is intended to teach us. Yea, what the entirety of God's Word is intended to teach us. To be this kind of a people. How many people do you know that are not behaving like this? Yeah, there's plenty. In fact, a lot of them seem to be getting FaceTime on the news. But God desires that we follow this path that is given to us here. Notice in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, that's knowledge. So he will listen to the instruction and increase in the knowledge. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And as he grows more in understanding, even more he will listen. To understand a proverb in the instruction, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And as he grows in maturity, he'll be able to go deeper and deeper and deeper in his understanding of the spiritual realities of life and of the counsel of others. All right, so that now, with that introduction, leads us to the first few points that I'd like to present to you. The first one is this, and if you remember the first message, as I give the points, you'll go, oh yeah, now I remember. Some of you will say, I still don't remember. That's all right. The need for spiritual knowledge. The first thing for us to consider is the need for spiritual knowledge. We have that given to us in Proverbs 1, verse 4. Why was the book of Proverbs written? Why did God give us this book? Yea, why did God give us His whole Word? Why did He give it to us? Well, look at it. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, why was it given? For us to know wisdom and instruction. For us to perceive the words of understanding. For us to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. For to give subtlety to the simple and to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. Stop for a moment. We would all say, ah, yes. Pastor, I notice in verse number 4, it says it's the young man who needs knowledge and discretion. The need is there for the young man. Which young man wants to be my illustration? Grandpa's the young man who needs to be my illustration? I don't care, whichever one of you moves. Jeremiah, you can be it if you want. You're moving. Well, it can't be a young lady. It doesn't say the young lady. I thought I was going to get Jeremiah. Did you want to come up? No? Okay. Well, he was moving like maybe he wanted to, so I don't know. All right. The young man needs spiritual knowledge. How many of you would say amen? If you've ever raised a young man, Roger, you have one that's a little older now, but he was raised up in your home, sitting right there. Did he need knowledge? Oh, boy. Now, I could ask another question, but, you know, I'd hate for you to have to answer this out loud. Does he still?
Amen.
No. We'll let Doug answer that for himself, right? But here's the thing. Now, we're going to get to all of us, amen? But right in the statement of the verse, it says the young man, to give the young man knowledge and discretion. And we would say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Young men definitely need spiritual knowledge and godly discretion. No doubt. They lack it a lot and they need a lot of it. Thank you. That's all I needed you for at the moment. That's it. I wanted him to be able to stand up here and all look at him and go, oh yeah, the young man, Wesley, needs spiritual knowledge and a lot of spiritual discretion. And the main reason we say that is because we encounter them and we go, wow, he lacks so much, doesn't he? Well, that's kind of natural in the process of life. What's really sad is when we encounter somebody who's 150. You know, the 15-year-old young man, we expect him to have a certain lack of knowledge and a certain lack of discretion. We want him to develop it. We don't want him to stay like that. But we do expect a certain amount of it at the age of 15. When they're 150 and they still have similar lack of knowledge and lack of discretion, it's a shame, because at that point, the thoughts that go through our mind is, you're never going to teach that old dog any new tricks. At that point, that's kind of where we're at. I know I said 150, and you say, I don't even know if I know anybody who's ever lived to 150. That's good. That way you didn't have to put any names on that list. That is not how old I am. I'm not quite there yet. I'm approaching, right? But do we understand? It's easy for us to say. Now, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, young men, oh yeah. In fact, even the young ladies that know the young men will say, oh yeah. Joel, how many young men have you met that you say, oh yeah, they need some knowledge and discretion? Ha! Yeah, a whole lot. It's like all of them. What is it with men? But hold a moment. As we think about that, let us step back and ask, but what about us? We might not be classed as young men because, well, the ladies here wouldn't even class themselves as men, so that's one category out. And then some of the men in the room would say, I'm not a young man, I'm a bit older than that. But how many of us also need to grow in knowledge and discretion? Spiritual knowledge and righteous discretion. How many of us need that? Yeah, there is this need. And I'm here to tell you as we go through this study, if you come to the place of humbly and honestly saying, I need it, you're on the path to starting to receive it and grow in it. But if you'll not come to an honest, humble place in your heart to say, I need it, you'll never get it. Not because it's not available, but because you'll not give it the time of day. The other day, I was invited to go to an activity of exercise. Weightlifting, some aerobics, some of those types of things. And at this activity, there was one individual who's been very, very centered on it for years and 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 is very committed to it. And up came the subject because I was invited to go, but I was only there to kind of be an encourager. I had no intention of engaging in any of the actual weightlifting or anything. I did two things the whole time I was there for about 45 minutes or so. They did have the rope climb, and I remember doing that way back when I was in high school. And, you know, Wesley said almost 150 years ago, something like that, 120 years ago, something like that. And I wanted to see if I could still get all the way up the rope and ring the bell. I did do that, although I made certain that there were people underneath me just in case. When I was in my 20s, I would have done it with nobody there because I would have been certain I could do it. But now, I don't know, it's been a long time since I did it last. And then I also did 20 push-ups, but propped at a funny angle, so your feet are up above your head and all those things, and I was able to get to the full 20. Cool. I was not going to 21, though. That's it. I was done at that point. And then Wesley challenged me the other day to try to do one push-up and clap behind my back, and all I did was land on my nose. And everybody who was there at volleyball, you missed it, Steve. Everybody else got to laugh at me. I'm not doing it again just so you get to laugh. Because you'll bring your camera. Yeah, I know how that'll happen. But in any case, at this activity that I was there, this man who's kind of, you know, heading it up and so on, was challenging different ones, and he challenged me to get involved. And I said this. I said, well, I'm just kind of here to, because I was invited to be an encouragement to somebody else, and I really have no interest, none. I have no interest in any element of weightlifting or anything like that. I have no interest. And he said to me, he said, well, interest is not what it's really about. That's not what it's about. It's about determining that it's the right thing to do. Now, I didn't pursue this path, but he brought up, he said, what does the Bible say, actually, about the body? And then he knew enough of the verse to say, it's a temple, right? And I added to it, of the Holy Ghost, which had nothing to do with what he was trying to use it for. His better verse would have been the one in Timothy that said, bodily exercise profiteth little. The idea is a little. And then I would have quoted the rest of the verse because I know this man doesn't really follow a path of church attendance or anything like that. I could have then finished the verse by saying, but godliness is profitable unto all things, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Now, is bodily exercise of some value? Yeah. But here's the key he was trying to get across. He was trying to get across that it's not about waking up in the morning and say, oh, I'm so interested in exercise. It's not what it's about. Here's what it's about. It's about, and he even said it, it's about knowing that it's the right thing to do. If it's the right thing to do, you do it whether you really are interested or not. You do it because it's right. That's a good principle. And I think it has some application to the element of exercise. The only thing then would be you have to convince me that doing that weightlifting that you guys are doing is the right thing for me to do. Because there's no verse in the Bible that actually commands me to do some of those exercises and do them on a weekly basis. However, there's plenty in the Word of God about godliness, which is profitable unto all things. Amen? But here's my point. You know why I don't go out and weightlift with Wesley? Because I have not been convinced that it's absolutely necessary and right for me to do. But I have to do it. And because I'm not interested in it, and I'm not convinced that it's what I must do, that I what I need to do, I'm not doing it. But I'll tell you this, if I was ever convinced it was something I need to do, I would do it. Might not be fun, might not be easy, but if it's necessary, there it is. Now here's the problem in our lives. In spiritual things, many times, it is what is needed, but we haven't been convinced. We're not humble enough and honest enough to acknowledge we need it. And you'll never go forward on the path of righteousness until you say, first, I need it. I need Jesus. I need a walk with God. I need to be in the Word of God every day. I need times of prayer every day. I need to be in the house of God faithfully. I need to be evangelizing the lost. I need to. When I say I need it, then I'm in a position to commit myself to doing it. But if it's a give or take thing, most likely, it'll get dropped off the wayside. Because it's hard. The Christian life does take some level of work and labor. And work and labor is not easy. And what's not easy, we let drop by the wayside unless we're convinced we need it. Why does Brother Chuck Hagin go to work? Because he likes it? Or because he needs to? Help me out, Brother Hagin. Why do you go? You like it so much. You get up in the morning, you're like, yeah! Pays the bills. And you know, for most of us, that's why we go to work, isn't it? We need to pay the bills. This is the job God gave us, to be able to pay the bills. So we need to do it. We don't do it because we like it necessarily. We do it because we need to. If, in fact, somebody else would pay all of our bills for us, without us having to work, how many of us would quit our job? And maybe go find some hobby we like to do. Maybe even generate a little bit of money on that hobby. But if somebody else was going to pay all the bills, why not? And that's what two-thirds of our country is trying to get the government to do. Did I just step on politics? Sorry, don't erase that. We didn't say that. Put that out of your mind. Moving on. Amen? Point number two I'd like to present to you here this morning. The need for spiritual knowledge. That's the number one. We need it. And we need to come to that place that we acknowledge we need it. That leads us to number two, the foundation for spiritual knowledge. The foundation for spiritual knowledge. You see, once you're convinced you need it, you'll start looking for where to find it. Amen? Once you're convinced you need it, you'll start looking for the place where you can find it. And the first thing you'll encounter in that, the very first thing revealed in the book of Proverbs about that is, if you want to find spiritual knowledge for your life, if that's what you want, if you know you need it and you want to find it, then the very first thing you need to understand is the very foundation for all of it. Even before you understand the source, you need to understand the foundation, like the introduction to it. The foundation is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You'll never get spiritual knowledge without the fear of the Lord. You get plenty of other kinds of knowledge without the fear of the Lord, but you'll never get spiritual knowledge in your life without the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 9 verse 10, the first half of the verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then in Proverbs 15 verse 33, the first half of the verse says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So first I have beginning of knowledge. Second I have beginning of wisdom. So in both cases it's the beginning of, but the advancement here is knowledge to wisdom. The beginning of just knowing what's right is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowing how to take that and actually live what's right is the fear of the Lord. And then the change is the instruction of wisdom. So there, wisdom is the same, but here we move from beginning to instruction. This is where I start with it, but if I'm going to continue to grow in it, continue to be instructed in it, it still requires the fear of the Lord. The entire Christian life is lived. The entire Christian walk of wisdom is lived in the fear of the Lord. The moment you step out of the fear of the Lord, you've stepped off the path of wisdom. Until you come to the path, or until you come to the fear of the Lord, you'll never be on the path of wisdom. There's a lot of people in the world, Romans chapter 1 declares, professing themselves to be wise. Interesting how that verse says that. It doesn't say they're wise, it just says that they view themselves. They profess themselves. They have a viewpoint concerning themselves that they are wise. But in fact, in Romans chapter 1, it states that they reject God while professing themselves to be wise. But it's only a profession and it's a false one. Because true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with spiritual knowledge, and spiritual knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord and leads to wisdom, which begins with the fear of the Lord and continues in spiritual maturity of wisdom through the instruction of the spiritual maturity of wisdom, and that's still through the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for all of this. So what's the fear of the Lord? We could do a whole study on it. There's a lot in Scripture about the fear of the Lord. We're not going to do that right now, here this morning. That would take a whole series of messages all on its own. But let me kind of put it in a nutshell. The fear of the Lord is making God the priority. When God is the priority of everything, of your heart, the very depths of your heart, all the way out. So He's the priority of your heart and its motivations. He's the priority of your mind and its thoughts. He's the priority of your emotions and its attitudes. He's the priority of your will and its decision-making process. He's the priority of everything in your life. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you watch, everything you listen to, God is the priority. That's living in the fear of the Lord. See, it goes like this. I told you I was done with you, but I'm not. Come back up. This is different now. I mean, it's same person, but now we're on a different light. The fear of the Lord would be like this. This is how it works. Okay, we step into a circumstance. So Wesley steps into a circumstance, and if he has the fear of the Lord, the very first thing that comes to his mind is, what does God want me to do? Does God like this music or not? Is God okay with this decision or not? You understand? The fear of the Lord means always first is step forward into the fear of the Lord. Unless you don't want to. If you're in the fear of the Lord, everything is, what should I say to this individual? Well, what does God want me to say? What would God not want me to say? When you're on Facebook, how many of you sometimes on Facebook you find yourself having to control what not to say? Because there's a whole lot that comes to mind. That's why I'm not on Facebook. Wow. That's why Dad should not be on Facebook. He's not on Facebook. He's not allowed anymore. Oh, she painted the keys so you can't type anymore. And he didn't, you know, have typing class, so he doesn't just have it memorized in his head. He has to actually look at them, so now he has no clue. If you ever get a Facebook message from my father-in-law and it's just a bunch of letters, she painted the keys. He doesn't know anymore. But see, the thing is the fear of the Lord says, what should I say? But the fear of the Lord also says, what would God not want me to say right now? Yes, don't ever send a Facebook message to me that says, Pastor Marco, you're dumber than a rock. Yeah. Don't do it. Please. That would hurt my feelings. All right. But do you understand? What comes forward first is, what does God want? Another way of putting this, you can have a seat. Proverbs chapter 3 says it differently, but means the same idea. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And you know what happens when you do that? He will direct your path. And when He directs your path, what kind of path will it be? He leads in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Number one, it'll be the path of righteousness. And number two, it'll bring glory to His name. It'll be wisdom. Because it'll be the path He led. Now, many of us, much of the time, aren't doing that. But that's the idea of the fear of the Lord. And it is the very foundation for true spiritual knowledge. God is the priority all the time in everything from the heart out. It's not just an activity where He's the priority. It's literally at the heart level, He is my priority. He is the priority that determines what motivates me, what I think, what I feel, what my attitudes are, what my internal decisions are. He's the priority. That's the fear of the Lord. So we have the need for spiritual knowledge, and we have the foundation for spiritual knowledge. Number three, the rejection of spiritual knowledge. The rejection of spiritual knowledge. I want you to notice that once some individuals understand what the foundation for spiritual knowledge is, that's the point at which they say, never mind, not interested. Look again at Proverbs 1 verse 7. Right where it states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, so the foundation of spiritual knowledge. In verse 4, we find there's the need. In verse 7, we find there's the foundation. And going further in verse 7, we find there's some people that don't want that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1 verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 29. For that they hated knowledge. And what's the key to all of it? Why is it that the simple love simplicity? Why is it the scorners delight in scorning? Why is it that fools hate knowledge? Why is it? Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see, this is the key for all of us, because the fear of the Lord is a choice. Making the Lord our God the priority of heart, mind, emotion, will, life is a choice. It's an everyday choice. It's an every moment choice. And there are some that will come to this point and say, oh, I want spiritual knowledge. My life is a mess. And I need to find God. I need to find the Lord. I need someone to guide me. And I know the Lord knows the right way. I need the Lord in my life. And I need the Lord to give me direction in my life. I need the Lord to help me out of the pit of miry clay I'm in. And God says, okay. You want what I have to give you. You want this spiritual knowledge and you want this godly wisdom and you want this righteous understanding. If you want this, if you say you need it and you want it, then I tell you this. You must walk in the fear of the Lord. You must make me first in everything. And all of a sudden they put the brakes on and they say, whoa, wait a second, what? I didn't say I wanted that. I said I'm in a mess in my life. And I need a solution to the mess. I need some direction. I need some deliverance. But I didn't say anything about wanting to put you first in everything. No, whoa. Is there a way to get deliverance and direction without putting you first? You know how many people are trying that? But that's why it's important to understand the foundation for spiritual knowledge is the fear of the Lord. No, it's impossible to do it that way. You can develop worldly wisdom without the fear of God. You can develop life management skills to some extent without the fear of God on a worldly level. But you cannot develop real spiritual knowledge and real spiritual understanding and real spiritual wisdom and real spiritual maturity without the fear of God. He has to be first. So, let me go back to my first point and get you to this understanding. When you say, I need it, that is, I need spiritual knowledge, what you really have to come to is, I need Him. You cannot separate spiritual knowledge from the fear of the Lord. And therefore, when you come to a real recognition of need, because many of us might say, I need spiritual knowledge. I need direction. I need deliverance. I'm in a hole. I'm in a pit. I'm in a miry clay. I've made a mess in my life. I need some deliverance from that. And then I need some direction, not only how to get out of the hole, but how to stay out of the pitfalls of life. I need some of that. But then we're brought up to, well, that if you want that, then it's the fear of the Lord. That's the path you have to walk on. And we say, whoa, I want it without Him. And God says, you can't have it without me. You can't have spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom and spiritual maturity without me. I am the very foundation. I'm the foundation for the knowledge. I'm the foundation for the wisdom. And I'm the foundation for every growth of spiritual maturity thereafter. I'm the foundation, God says. And you can't have it apart from me. So when we come to that recognition of need, what we really have to recognize is, I need direction. I need deliverance. I need God to rule my life. Not just I need God to bail me out. This is why so many of the, as they so-called back in war days, the foxhole decisions are so weak. Because most foxhole decisions are, God, bail me out, and then I'll serve you. But you see, that's not enough. When somebody finally comes to the place where they say, God, I need you to rule my life. Not just bail me out of trouble, but rule my life, then they have begun on the right path. But there's many that actually hate spiritual knowledge, not because they don't want direction, but because they don't want the fear of the Lord. They don't want God to rule. They want direction with self-rule. But you see, those two paths go opposite directions. God's direction for your life is the opposite direction of self-rule for your life. Isn't that why Proverbs 3, which we quoted already a verse therefrom, but the statement before it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The verse thereafter says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's where it is. I need spiritual knowledge. What that means is I need the Lord to be my priority. I need Him to rule. And when I come to that place, that foundation, I have begun on the foundation upon which I can build a spiritually wise and mature Christian life, and it will stand. Amen? You might say, well, I've lived through a lot of my life and not built in the right place. All right? Walk away from it. Whatever you've already built in your life, it was built on the wrong foundation. Walk away from that. In fact, confess that it was all you and not Him, and start building on the right foundation for the rest of whatever you have. Young people, start your adulthood in the right place. Amen? Build on the Lord. And when I say build on the Lord, I mean build on Him ruling. What He says goes. What He wants is. There are a lot of things I do in my life, and if you ask me simply this, why do you do it? My answer will be, because it's what God says is right. It's why. I know. A lot of people would say, oh, Pastor, why do you show up to all the services? Well, it's his job. I mean, that's what he's got to do. He doesn't get paid if he doesn't. Now, even if I wasn't pastor of the church, it's because it's right. Why do you spend time in the Word of God every day? Because it's right. Why do you witness to the lost and hand out tracts? Because it's easy. No. Because it's right. Amen? And that's all going to start with God rules my life. That's where it's going to all begin. The need, we all have it. Not just the young men, all of us. The foundation, the fear of the Lord, He must be first. Ah, but then there's plenty who say to that, when they hear that part, they say, no, I do not choose the fear of the Lord. I actually then despise and hate the knowledge that I can get from that source. Don't want it. No interest. Get it away from me. And it's all about that choice. And this is, just like any other day, this is the moment of choice. Proverbs 1:7 is a verse of choice. The fear of the Lord on one hand, despising the fear of the Lord on the other hand. It's a verse of choice. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for revealing these things to us. I thank You for all the wisdom that You've given to us in Your Word, provided to us by the guidance of the Spirit of Truth in the Word of Truth. But Lord, there is a decision we have to make to yield ourselves to it, to give ourselves to it, to exalt it as a principle of priority and governance in our own hearts and lives. Help us to make the right choice. Lord, in a crowd this size, I believe there's some that are choosing right. There are some that are not choosing right. And there are some that are still at a crossroad. They're still deliberating between the choice. Lord, I pray indeed that those who have chosen right would be encouraged to continue. And those that have chosen wrong or have chosen against what's right would be brought to brokenness and repentance. And those that are at a crossroad would recognize that they need to repent as well of whatever self-will is getting in the way of making the choice for God, and just make the choice. Choose You this day. Let the Spirit of God work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.